I'm wondering.
I do wonder.
If there are some questions that anybody might have concerning any of the things that we have been speaking about over the last several days.
Talk about the olden days, yeah, so.
Before I go on.
Before I continue, when I get questions concerning all which we've only talked about. Questions. I have a question.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Questions.
Yep. The first day when he started preaching.
Okay.
Talk about Zachariah and also between him and Nehemiah.
You talked about Zachariah.
Zachariah, yes.
And you also talked about Mary.
Yes.
Zachariah and Elizabeth was husband of Elizabeth.
And we understand that when anybody did the Holy Exorcism, especially that altar of incense.
And we understand that when someone is in the Holy Exorcism,
in the altar of incense.
In the altar of incense.
Yes, and sin. You're not facing inside anybody with the inside.
I mean, it is noted that there's no, someone with sin should not enter that place.
Place, yes. And but we see when we read the scripture as Brother Bob said, we find out when the angel Kumita is free.
And when we read the scripture, just as you said, we noticed that when the angel came to Zechariah, he was afraid.
And the angel tell a word. He looked out for,
and the angel told him something that he was doubting about.
Yes. He said, the angel tell us, he go born picking, and that picking he go turn the heart of the picking to the papa.
And the angel told him that he will give back to a son, and the son will turn the heart of the children to the father, and the father to the children.
Yes. So he say, look, I am old now, and my wife is he don't old, good one.
And he said that I am old, and my wife is stricken. Yes.
So and we don't know why God. And he said because Aaron in Bikidem, where they go do the test, strange fire go that the same altar of incense they were born.
We want to note that when. And the children of Aaron took strange fire to the altar. Strange fire to the altar. They were.
So what does that have to do with Zechariah?
So yes. So what is the link between Zechariah and Aaron now?
Yeah, because in a peace, they want to say that a peace. So that.
I mean, he's trying to link it because Zechariah was a priest, and the children of Aaron were also priests.
And they were both by the act of. By the act with the act, and Zechariah, he was dumb.
So, but in the case of Zechariah, because of his unbelief, he became dumb.
Right.
Yeah. So you want to know what?
Explain more. Then and maybe
explain
that,
what?
Explain that area there, because Zechariah, he was dumb, and then everyone in between them was born. Then maybe. In the voice of the angel, they accept and say, me and me, and may God do anything we want to do.
Okay, they note that, Zechariah became dumb, and because of unbelief, but in the case of Aaron's children, right, they were burnt.
So why wasn't Zechariah burned instead of being struck dumb?
You ask if what you mean Zechariah not born?
Yes, because that is not the same sin. I want to know if not the same sin.
He wants to know whether Zechariah and the children of Aaron.
Punishment.
No, they're not the same. No.
not to the same.
The children of Aaron, there was a law that you could not, the fire from the brazen altar was the fire that you had to bring into the Holy of Holies to light the fire at the golden altar of incense.
In the case of for the children of Aaron, the fire we get for pull that altar of brass. Now you will take who can light the altar of incense.
But so that was the law, and because they did not do that, they brought fire from their hearths, from the home.
Because they don't do that, they go take fire and oath.
They went about their business. They did the candlestick and all of that. Nothing happened. But when they came to the golden altar of incense,
then go and take the fire. Then go and light the candlestick. Nothing happened more. I wouldn't come to the altar.
Because it was strange fire, the fire jumped off of the altar and burned both of them.
Because there been strange fire.
That strange fire is indicative of mixture.
Strange fire, they talk about mixture.
It applies to you and I.
And then they are for me and you.
As kings and priests.
We are king and priest.
If we take the word of God, the pure word of God, and mix it.
If we take God in pure word, then we mix them.
With our own philosophy, our own thoughts. The result of that is fire, tribulation, or death.
Which in the come na fire or wahala or die.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You will talk about Mary. What did you do, Mary?
I say Mary, he accepts the word and gives himself to God. Say this Nina and me, may God do what he wants.
Okay, but he was still talking about Mary. That's okay. In her case, I mean, she accepted God's word. I mean, not in the case of like Zachariah, because he thinks that Zachariah was like doubting, and for him, so like Zachariah actually sinned because of that, and that was why it was.
Well, that would not be the same thing as what the boys did, Aaron's boys.
No, that is understood.
Okay,
it's not comparing Zachariah and Mary.
Well. God needed a sign.
God, we need sign.
John was the prophesy, was the coming to pass of the prophecy about Elias that was to come before Christ.
John
and he was to open the way.
And talk about Elias being able to come before Christ.
And so there was a need of God doing something supernatural in order to mark the event and to make it as a sign or a witness to what was going to happen with Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth.
If you need for make God do a miracle to mark that event concerning the two began for happen to Zechariah and wife Elizabeth.
And not only was he struck down because of his unbelief, but he was also struck down for the purposes and the plan of God.
Not because of the unbelief, no more be able to talk again, but. Because of God in purpose.
Because it served twofold, really, in some respects. When they came to christen or to anoint the child, Elizabeth wanted to call him John. There was a contention.
And she said two things can be happened.
Because there was no, they wanted to name the child Zacharias or some other name that was within the family lineage.
There was no. They were going to name the Peking name Zachariah. The whole family and the animal Zachariah. Anyway, Elizabeth in the tenancy of John.
And God did not want John identifying with the line or the bloodline of Zacharias because he was the prophesied prophet that was going to herald the coming of Jesus Christ.
God not be want to make John linked to that line of Zachariah and Papa.
So when the So when the contention of the name came before Zacharias, the Lord gave him utterance, and he said his name shall be John, which shocked everyone that you can now speak and talk.
So when the people in Liban confusion about the name, God make Zachariah will talk that tendy.
Amen.
It also,
believes, say, yes,
it, I believe it also was evidence of Zachariah's repentance.
And I believe say Dandy not being supposed to say Zachariah, he really sorry.
Because I think the scripture says he began to glorify God after the name was pronounced.
The Bible talks say Zachariah before tell God thank you after it all for.
So the whole affair was hitting many different facets of humanity when it was happening.
So a lot of other things, I mean they when all this happened.
So praise God.
On the first day you said that eternity, God transmitted eternity part of our daily lives.
You have to speak louder, I can't hear you.
On the first day. He said that God is trying to make eternity.
God?
He's trying to make eternity.
Yes, God in eternity.
Yes, part of our daily lives.
Yes.
So he also said that the tabernacle has an eight piece, which is movement into the spiritual or into the spiritual realm.
It has eight.
He said that the last part is the portal.
Uh-huh.
From the natural, from the physical to the spiritual.
Uh-huh.
And spiritual is meant to be a place where eternity is the physical thing. So how can we relate the moving from the physical to the spiritual as an eternity, as the final goal, and our daily lives as eternity?
How do you move from it?
How you relate eternity being the goal of the Christian to move from physical to spiritual? So our daily lives, eternity in our daily lives.
Okay. It's our daily life, right? And then
implementing eternity.
Yeah.
Huh? If I understood you correctly.
Okay. If we implement eternity in our daily
life. So that God wants us to implement
it. Yes. Time.
So God wants you for put eternity in our day to day life. And now in the ask for the board, how it will for relate that one day with that number eight we talk saying like
eight being new beginnings.
New beginning in eternity. So how we go relate that?
Well, because eight really works. The aspect of eight works incrementally with you as you progress through the tabernacle.
It's the worker with you as you go through this tabernacle from one stage to the other.
The first demonstration of eight
the first way
is when you are born again.
At the time when you're born again,
you are dead.
You've been dead.
When you accept the blood of Jesus Christ,
when you accept Jesus,
you are born again. That is the beginning of eight.
That means it is the beginning of new beginnings.
Because eight is representative of new beginnings.
Because
it's something that happens that hasn't happened before.
Something happened when it happened before.
It also is something that is given to you to facilitate you coming to the fullness of eight.
And as something where God will give to you for making help you for come to that to perfection of eight.
And the Bible says that we enter into the kingdom of God through much tribulation.
The Bible says we enter inside God's kingdom.
So tribulation is the vehicle or is the means by which we can deal with deal with the naturalness of our situation to incorporate the eternal promise that is given to us with regards to the end of the day.
So I mean, wahala na di biku will help we.
Hallelujah.
Go through for what God wants to pray.
Hallelujah. So, because if you are a person who has to deal with anger,
if you're not possible, way you get for you for deal with you, you expect.
You have to move from anger to non-anger. Anger is in the natural realm for you. Non-anger, or not being angry, is coming to a place where it is different from what you are accustomed to. It is contrary to your nature, but yet in the aspect of overcoming your anger, you are metamorphosing to a position of eternity. And to some degree, you have gotten that eternity into your soul.
Okay. So
because
I mean, if you come up from vex to another place where you're for vex, it don't mean say thing and not go happen when you're not for vex, but it in that same condition day, but because you don't overcome that, it comes to a new start.
Hallelujah. So to whatever degree you are overcoming, whatever the aspect of the aspect of nature that you have, that is a part and an incremental bit of the number eight, or the number of new beginnings. Because you graduate from that position where you were, you graduate from the position of your temptation to where it is no longer something that tempts you.
Okay, so I mean, so you like you if you come on from one level to the other, like you graduate from some sideways. Even get in the get temptation, and now you know they get temptation are like a new beginning.
A natural example: when I was out in the world, I was a very heavy smoker.
One example: where I've been in the world, I mean, smoke bad, bad one.
And I was having to deal with the spirit of alcoholism that has been handed down from my father's
and
father
I've been for
to my father to me.
And for drunkenness, we not from my papa been get up.
And when I got born again.
When I born again,
I found out that it was still a problem. I mean, when I got baptized, when I was born again and filled with the Holy Spirit,
when I born again,
I found out that it was still a problem.
Holy Spirit, I find out it.
And so I went to God to begin to fast and pray and begin to seek His face for the sake of my deliverance.
So I go to God and me for fast and pray,
but it's not it was not just deliverance that I needed.
But also being delivered, no more being
there was something in my character that was inherited from my family.
But something in there for me, where
from my ancestral
me
bondage. There's something that was handed down to me, and it
something
was part of my character. And no matter what I would try to do concerning that problem,
no matter what
I couldn't change it.
I know people change it.
And it was always rising up to make me slip and fall.
And that means we always come and make me fall down back.
And I became aware that there was the need of divine intervention in my life, that God had to do something in my character, in my being.
So I began to understand, say, need God in intervention, I mean,
now,
so that I could do something in my character.
It wasn't a matter of just being delivered from nicotine, or it wasn't a matter of just being delivered from alcohol. Something in my character had to change.
Not just to make it deliver me no more from your sin or from your alcohol, but something inside me, you know, life can get for change.
And I had a tremendous experience in all of that.
I get some big experience in all that in
and at the point of where I was seeking help from the Lord.
At one time, I mean, asked for help from God.
It wasn't that somebody came in and delivered me. God came into the room and He did something about my character.
Not only was a person can deliver me, but God Himself came inside the room and He changed something about my character.
When He came into the room, He knocked me down on my face on the floor.
When He came out the room, He make a fall down from my face.
I don't know how long I was there.
I don't know for how long I did it.
But when He began to lift Himself off of me.
But when He left me,
he grabbed me by the, grabbed my head, hair, right here, on my head. It was really my scalp. He grabbed my scalp.
He gripped me in right there, so.
And he just incrementally was pulling, and I could feel it very painfully, by the way.
And yes, with the pull is long enough, I would feel the pain.
In some ways, it wasn't quite as painful, but in some ways, it was like I was getting skinned. But when that was all done, I got up off the floor. I was, the cigarettes were gone.
Well, all landed.
The booze was gone.
You know, I grabbed daddy,
and that was
cigarettes go, and drunkenness, we all don't go.
That was probably 55, 56, 57 years ago.
That in about 55 or 56.
But something in my
ago.
Something in my character, something in my soul was changed.
But something inside my soul changed.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And to some incremental position or place. Now, my family had been in bondage to alcohol for years.
My family had been under bondage for.
But when I got delivered from alcohol.
When God delivered me from alcohol.
My father quit drinking.
My papa stopped for drink.
My brother quit drinking.
My brother stopped for drink.
And neither of them, my father never again drank until he died. And my brother hasn't drank since that time. And
my brother not drink from that time.
God, my children have not had to deal with that spirit.
And I find out
that nature, because something changed.
Because something changed.
Hallelujah. So,
amen.
In some degree,
so to some extent,
that is an eternal experience. It is a nature change. It's something that is no longer compatible with this world, but it's compatible with the world that is to come.
There's so what you are going to say,
there's
now,
an aspect of my character,
something changed,
that God has established by virtue of that experience.
And now something on my character,
so it's an incremental thing.
So now something really continue.
And as you practice with God, as you walk with God, as you talk with God, as He highlights the deficiencies in your walk, in your life, if you are faithful to begin to go to God concerning them,
if you go to God concerning them,
incrementally you will change.
You go find out, see, you go to change.
If you really press through to God to touch His, touch the hem of His garment,
if you really,
you will incrementally change. Your character will change. Now, you may not necessarily be aware that it's changing.
You're not gonna know something to change
until you come to an experience where
you come to one place
where you would have acted differently than how you act.
Something you come to a place where something how you can act before you not act like that again.
There was another experience I had concerning bad language.
One of the experiences we having get to talk bad words.
I could not talk without cursing. I could not talk without being profane. I had to be profane. And so I went to God and began to talk to Him about that.
So I'll go to God for we'll talk to Him.
And it was over a period of time. It didn't happen immediately with me.
And I'll be for some time.
The first step was that I had to stop speaking it.
And the first step where I've been getting for taking that for that.
Hallelujah.
For talking.
And I don't know if anybody's ever had the problem with foul language.
I don't know if somebody does.
But foul language is something that is not just verbal, vocal.
And that's not only where you just pull on your emotions.
It's written indelibly on your soul. It's written. It's written there.
It writes me.
And you can stop talking it.
You can stop or talking
it. But you still think it.
But you still think it.
Because it's in your brain.
Because it's written in your brain.
It's inscribed in your brain.
Then written in your brain.
Hallelujah. Yes. And so I stopped using it verbally.
So I stopped for you.
But I was still having the mental battle with it. When something really bad would happen, the words would come and all those thoughts would be there. Sometimes I would just have to grit my teeth, bite my tongue.
Something that can give a bit of tongue.
Because I made a covenant that I was not going to use my mouth as an instrument of defilement or destruction.
Because I mean, don't make agreements, I'm not going to use me much for God.
Hallelujah. But it was still in my brain.
But it means,
and I don't know how much time elapsed.
But I don't know how long time it takes.
But after an experience, I realized that slowly but surely the words were being erased.
But after some time, I find out say the word that erased come out of my mind.
But it really did not become evident to me until I came to a place one day.
But I not been know about that until one day.
It was on the construction site.
I mean, in a big construction site.
And we build with wood.
And with a beam
and nails.
With wood.
And when we build what we call, we not block walls, but we call them stud walls.
We build with some kind of, with wood them, and we bring them to a wall.
Stud walls. They have a piece of wood up here at the top.
Then get wood on top.
And then they have woods coming down here like this.
Then get wood with the canal like so.
Like this. My drawing's not typical. And then at the bottom we have another piece of wood.
And on at the bottom you get other wood.
Hallelujah. And we the pieces of wood we will lay down flat.
Okay, lay the wood there. That's when I grow.
Hallelujah. So if you're looking at it from the side.
So if you're looking at it from one side.
It looks like this. This would be the floor.
Then they would tell like
this would be the stud. And this would be the bottom plate, and that would be the top plate.
So this could be the dung side, and this could be on top.
And we put two nails right there, right there. Right there, right there. That's okay, the way you. That's the way you frame it. Hallelujah. And that particular day, I was working with another carpenter.
That day, they work with another carpenter.
And you lay this thing out on the floor to the whatever the length of the wall is.
And we lay them.
You put the studs in there. You put them in there. Of course, you have the marks on the plates.
And you put
where they go.
On the boat.
And then we stand on them.
And you tie them on the boat. So.
We stand up on the edge here.
You see them at the edge of that boat.
On these studs here, we stand up and we are bending over and we're nailing it.
With a bend over, with
them. Then you step over and you nail it. And we had this particularly long wall one day.
One day we get one long wall for nails.
So me and this other carpenter, we were racing.
Me and this other carpenter, I raced with the race.
And the winner got the other one to buy him lunch.
And he means, who that win, he go buy lunch. Or he go.
Hallelujah. So you can imagine, we're hammering and going. And we're doing it just as fast as we can do. And on about the fourth or fifth stud down, I didn't even get that much farther.
And I'll just do about four or five.
Hallelujah. My thumb slipped off of the nail.
I
slammed my thumb.
My big finger come on at the nail and I go and knock him.
Now we use this these 29 or 32 ounce hammers.
And we use them hammer, they're heavy.
And the head of the hammer.
The hammer head
has it's a waffle shaped thing.
It gets some kind of a cross, so it's rough.
Very rough. It's got these little points. The points keep it from slipping off the nail when you hit it. But when you hit your thumb, it just mutilates it.
So when you knock you big hand, finger.
And when I hit my thumb.
So when I knock me big finger.
I let out a yell.
Allah.
And I grabbed my thumb and I started hopping around and I'm saying, oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And I'm dancing all over the place.
Dance all over the place.
And of course, the guy that I'm working with, he thinks I'm crazy.
So the guy we have been working with thinks I'm crazy.
Hallelujah.
All right.
And in the midst of it, I realized I wasn't swearing.
And so I just find out, see, I've not really cursed before.
And then it just became a hallelujah party.
So then, instead of cursed, I've said hallelujah party.
Something had changed.
Because something changed,
and I don't have a problem with it. You understand?
And I don't get problem with that.
You can take smoke and blow it in my face all day.
You can smoke before my face all day.
You can take whiskey and pour it over me all you want to.
For me all day.
Or you can call me whatever name you want to call me.
Or you can call me or provoke me, or you have a problem.
I am not motivated to respond.
But I'm not going to respond. I'm not going to talk back to you.
I'm not motivated to respond.
I'm not getting nothing but talk back to you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Something changed.
Something changed.
Indelibly changed.
It changed.
And when it says that he will remove your sins.
As far as the east is from the west.
It go
pull and come on near you, just like how the east they far from the west.
It means that somehow he wiped the slate clean.
It means that God wiped them slate.
Hallelujah. Now I have a responsibility though.
But I get responsibility.
I have a responsibility of keeping clean.
For keep myself clean.
I have a responsibility of keeping clean.
I get responsibility for make I keep myself clean.
It means that I cannot subject myself to certain activities. I cannot subject myself to certain conversations. I cannot subject myself to certain things that will nullify that aspect of change. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And if I'm in the company of somebody who's swearing,
so if I did around those people in the course,
I don't mean casually, I just mean, you know, that's something that you're involved with.
I don't mean say like,
I have to say just, something.
I mean, normal, but until you say involved.
I have to say something.
I get to say something.
My silence will contribute to the transgression.
Because if I don't say something,
I have to say something.
Me say, I contribute to what he was going to say.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, change is something that happens incrementally.
So change that thing with it.
Sometimes the change is bigger than other times. But it's incrementally. And you really won't know until God brings the test.
And you don't ever know until the test comes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That you have truly changed.
And at that test you will know so you don't change for sure.
That's the best I can do.
And that's the best thing I can do.
Amen.
All right.
It's an incremental thing.
Soon as until we increase, it's really good. All right. Any other question?
Yes, brother.
Yeah.
What about churros on the first? About two things.
On the first, you told us about two things.
Yes.
On the first
rebellion,
day?
The first.
Rebellion and stubbornness.
About rebellion and stubbornness.
Say that.
Yes.
Yes. You say that stubbornness is of witchcraft.
Yes. No, stubbornness is as a sin of iniquity.
Yes.
Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft.
But I about tell you to see the second day of the meeting.
Yes.
But I about tell you two things. Say stubbornness.
And really, Brother Bert didn't say that. Brother Bert just quoted scripture.
What about just quoting scripture?
Rebellion, witchcraft.
So rebellion.
I can give you the scripture.
Now witchcraft and stubbornness
is as a sin of iniquity.
Rebellion and witchcraft and stubbornness are iniquity.
Yes. So I just want to know whether if these two words are not same. Stubbornness.
He wants to know whether stubbornness and rebellion, whether they are not the same, whether they are different.
No, they're not the same. They would not be the same. They can't be the same because they're both mentioned in a different, in the same scripture, but as separate issues.
Stubbornness and rebellion not going to be the same because they are two mentioned on the same side.
Stubbornness will
and
facilitate.
There are two things there.
Stubbornness will facilitate rebellion.
Stubbornness can make somebody for rebel.
Yes. It will assist. It won't make them rebel.
It can help the person for rebel.
It won't make you rebel. But if you're stubborn about something, you can be rebelling.
Well, if you're stubborn about something, it means you rebel.
You have two hands.
You get two hands, man.
And when you want to open, want a drink of water, you grab the bottle with one hand and you open it with the other.
When you have a drink of water, you hold the bottle and you use the other hand to open it.
That is how stubbornness and rebellion can work together.
So stubbornness and rebellion.
You have a right hand, you have a left hand. They're individual, they're separate. You can be doing something with this right hand and something with this left hand over here.
You can do something.
Not necessarily the same thing.
Right hand and something with this left hand.
Hallelujah. But they do work together.
Well, then they work together
to facilitate something. And let me read the Let me read the scripture to you.
Make I read the.
It is in 1 Samuel 15.
Didn't I say 1 Samuel chapter 15?
I'm going to read quite a little bit more of this than just that verse because I want you to get the context of it.
I will read more than this verse because I want to make you understand.
I also suggest that you read the whole chapter because it's very pertinent to what has been being spoken.
I really want you for me to go back and read the one whole chapter because important for what we don't talk about.
All right. First of all, Samuel had instructed Saul.
Samuel been on tell Saul.
It's in the same chapter somewhere.
It is in the same chapter.
Samuel had instructed Saul to go and make war against the Amalekites. Is that right?
Yeah. Samuel been on tell Saul for make you go make war against the Amalekites.
It was the Amalekites.
Yes, Amalekites.
Okay. The word Malachite, what do you know I want to look that up first. Do you know? Do we have the concordant? Oh, great. This is great. I don't have to look it up. Thank you. Where is it? No, it's Amalek. Probably of the foreign origin, descendant of Esau, also his posterity, and their company. Amalek. It was Amalek then, wasn't it?
Amalek.
Huh? Not Malachite. It was Amalek. I was right.
Yes, sir.
Yes. All right. Amalek. All right. Well, the nature of it is good. Because you know Esau was somebody who forfeited, and it's very apropos too, by the way.
Esau had been passing away before forfeit.
Esau was someone who sold his birthright.
Esau had been somebody who said.
The context is dealing with the position, the place of your birthright as far as what it is that God has given to you concerning sonship.
And he talked about the divinity position.
The whole story about it is something that you and I should read and meditate on and ask God for some understanding as how it applies to our individual as well as our collective lives.
And this whole story is important because for make it apply to within to your own life, how God they look at them.
So anyway, at the end of the story was.
So the end of this.
Saul got a little impatient. Because Samuel told him, you wait for me, and when I come, I will deal with the sacrifices, and I will deal with the issues of service to God. Hallelujah.
Wait for me. When I come, he will do service to God.
And he said he would come at an appointed time. However, Samuel did not show up at the time that he was appointed.
Somebody tell me Samuel talks said he come. He don't come that early.
And Saul should have known better.
So some people don't do.
Because Samuel was a prophet.
Because Samuel was a prophet.
And the fact that Samuel wasn't there didn't necessarily mean that Samuel wasn't coming.
And because Samuel not been getting on, me say Samuel not ever come.
Because he had an experience with Samuel, he knew the prophetic nature of Samuel.
Because Saul did not get experience with
Samuel. Not only did he know the prophetic nature of Samuel, but he also knew the personality of Samuel and his position or place of responsibility, his sense of responsibility.
And Samuel in position and in responsibility.
Hallelujah. So it's a warning to us, by the way.
That's a warning to we.
Hallelujah. I'll let you chew on what the warning might be. Saul got impatient. And he decided to take matters into his own hands.
So he decided what do what he want to do.
A little bit maybe like Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron,
just like, I mean, Aaron
decided to take things in their own hand.
Then decided
nevertheless, he decided to take things into his own hands, and so he did what Samuel was supposed to do.
So Saul would do what Samuel had been supposed to do.
Well, it was something that was unforgivable as far as God was concerned.
And
because of it,
and because of Dandy,
the kingdom was rent from his hand
and
given unto another.
And then gives to somebody else.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's a little like Israel and Judah.
It just sounds like Israel and Judah.
Israel was given the promise and Judah inherited it.
Now Israel being given the promise, but now Judah now.
Hallelujah. And we are a part of that tribe of Judah, so that inheritance now comes to us.
So we now.
But here Samuel comes on the scene.
That didn't don't count to we.
So Samuel comes on the scene.
So Samuel come.
And of course. He says in verse 17, Samuel is talking to Saul.
So Samuel
17.
Number 17.
When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel?
He said, "Why be small like you, and you yai? God not me make you king over Israel."
You know, you could just as well say when you were out in the world. Living in sin, using the Lord's name in vain,
use God in name just like that.
Did not God show favor unto you?
God not show you favor
and redeem you.
And every person,
He called you.
He called you.
He elected you.
He elect you
to be not only a king but a priest.
But make you be not a king
so
but a priest.
The situation with Samuel and Saul.
But the
is a situation that we as Christians have to deal with, who
the situation where we Christian again,
who have a word of promise.
We get one promise,
and that promise being oneness with God.
And that promise then that we will be one with God.
Hallelujah. So it means that we are not our own government, no matter how good or how pure or how righteous we may think we may be.
So we're not our own government, even no
Hallelujah.
How we think say we're good or
Hallelujah.
How we can be.
And I'm going to stop right there for a minute.
I will stop you for a minute.
You know, we deal with, in other parts of Africa, we deal with the indigent people. We have these works that we are doing in Ethiopia.
Ethiopia, we deal with the people.
We have a work that's dealing with 75 single parent homes. One child out of each house. We take 10 widows every 6 months.
Every 6 months, we take 10 widows.
And we educate them in the Word of God.
And we teach them God in
We also teach them a vocational skill.
And we teach them how to work with the hands.
Hallelujah. And at the end of the program, we set them up in a little sidewalk business or something of that nature. That they can self-support themselves.
We give them some business so that they're able to support themselves.
Now, the children that we have, we're sending them to school.
We send them
we have a feeding program.
We can
But we're also teaching the children as well as the widows the word of the tabernacle.
But we also teach the bikini and also the woman that we did not get married in the tabernacle.
I'm telling you all of that because I want to emphasize a point.
I tell you that because I want to stress on one point.
There are many indigent children and many widows in Ethiopia.
Boku woman and they will not lost their husband in Ethiopia.
All of them in bad conditions and some of them in worse conditions.
Some they're in a bad condition, some they're in condition really, really bad.
But God picks this one.
But God
He'll pick that one.
And He picked the
He'll pick this one.
And He picked this other one.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
For whatever reason, God knows. I don't know
the reason why God.
Hallelujah.
How God take for picking them.
But by virtue of His picking, it is showing a divine favor that God has concerning that individual.
But because God picked that particular picking,
and I have ran into this situation over and over and over again.
And I don't get into that over and over again.
Hallelujah. Amen. You will have two children playing in the gutter, and God will pick one of them and take him and put him in a position or a place that he can minister
to
him.
Two picking and go there and they play, and God will take
Hallelujah.
One and take him and put him in a particular position.
I don't know the mechanics of it. I'm not God.
I don't know what's in the behind and the.
I can just trust that in God's wisdom. He knows what He's doing.
But I know say inside God, the way they do things.
Hallelujah.
He knows what they do.
So there is a divine favor that comes to you and I.
So God, favor will come.
Number one, that divine favor comes on the basis of the virtue that God gives to us by favor and saving our soul.
And down there they come because of the favor will God will give to you.
The second place of divine favor comes when He gives you and begins to lay out for you the mysteries of God and His plans and His purposes.
And the second favor that comes when God
shows
His mystery to you concerning His plan and His purpose.
It is something that we often take for granted.
Something that we can take for granted.
I know that many young people,
I don't know about
the young people that are here.
I don't know about the young people.
But I know many young people who have grown up under this word.
But I know say Boku young one and we don't grow under this word here, so
Hallelujah. Amen. Have taken it for granted.
They don't take it for granted.
Amen. They don't know the favor.
They don't know
or they don't
favor.
Realize the favor
they
that has been
that
given to them,
God don't give to them.
That they have had this opportunity,
to
sit under this particular word and hear
word.
The favor and the plans and purposes of God.
We have got in favor in plan and purpose.
All right, let me go on here.
Make a book.
And so here he says, verse 17, of the favor that was given to him. In verse 18, and the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed.
He said, go and destroy the Amalekites.
The instructions were very specific.
God instructed me be clear.
Now, we do not have such a circumstance or such a situation.
We're not getting that situation
as what this story is telling.
But
there are specific things that God lays out in His Word concerning what it is we are to do and how we are to do it.
But particular thing that day where God puts that in word.
Not only in the aspect of how we should do it, but how it is that we maintain the doing of it.
Not only about how we do it, but how we continue.
Hallelujah. That means that when we enter into the court and we come to the different pieces of furniture, there are certain principles that are being laid out. There are certain obligations of responsibility that are given to us to do and to perform.
Some principle and some obligation they who are supposed to do.
Especially true perform. When it comes to baptism.
And not true exactly when we
are baptized.
Baptize.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So It says, wherefore did thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the soil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord.
He said, but what to make you not obey the
God? Hallelujah.
But you don't do, waiting God don't want to, you don't obey.
And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord.
And Saul said to Samuel, I don't obey God in voice.
And have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought me, and brought Agag, and king of the Amalekites, and I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites.
And I don't go, I don't take the king of Agag, and I don't destroy the Amalekites there.
And so now he goes into the blame game.
Now you for go for people blame people there.
Which is a human trait.
We are no man.
Which is a human quality.
We have to deal
with it all the time. Siblings, brothers and sisters, brothers and brothers, sisters and sisters, always having to blame someone else.
Blame one another.
Parents, husbands and wife, always blaming someone else. Not if someone else, we're blaming circumstances and situations. Hallelujah.
And the circumstances are all they blame.
He says, but the people took the spoil, the sheep and the oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal.
See what Paul says, the people that take that thing and will get destroyed, and then me and Kara, this Gilgal.
They saved it in order for it to be a sacrifice.
And they keep that thing and they so that we go use that, we're going to use that for sacrifice.
Hallelujah. And then Samuel said, hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?
And Samuel said,
hallelujah,
get ready for sacrifice no more than for obey him.
I suppose, brethren, for us, it would seemingly be much more easier to obey the voice of the Lord if you had a Samuel.
Sometimes it's easy for you for obey God in voice if you get Samuel.
So you have to discern. You and I have to discern.
For me and you get for
that when someone says something, there is an unction, there is an anointing.
When somebody says something,
is it just the someone that is saying it? Or is it really the someone being utilized by the Lord to speak the mind of God concerning it?
That the person is
hallelujah.
God in mind. Amen.
You know, Brother Duciel, I really thank God for my training.
I thank God for my training.
Brother Duciel, when he had a word for me,
when Brother Duciel get word for me,
he would not say, Bert.
He never say, but.
Thus saith the Lord.
But this God say.
He would say, come to me, and we'd be talking about something, and he'd look at me and he'd say, you know, Bert.
But he goes, come to me, he look at me and he say something.
Maybe you should just,
but you know,
do so and 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 so.
I think so you can just do this and this and this and that.
And it would usually be interjected in a conversation.
And then,
it would not be something that would just come out and say, this is what you should do. It would just be interjected in a conversation.
And as something that come back, we talk, then we just come inside and just see.
And I had to learn. I had to learn.
I've been given for learn.
To differentiate between Brother Duciel and the Lord.
I mean, give for land for how for know when a Brother Duciel talk.
Hallelujah.
And when the Lord be
and
talk.
Unfortunately, I had to learn that the hard way.
Unfortunately, I mean, give for Allah now.
Because I didn't always discern it as the Lord as much as I discerned it as Brother Duciel, and I got in trouble because I did not hear and heed.
And I mean, you ever get trouble.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he was very good not to bail me out.
And he been good that you know, pull me out.
So he says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of ram.
He said, beyond you for obey.
Verse 23.
For sacrifice.
For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft.
Because rebellion, Italian.
Hallelujah. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry.
Stubbornness. What is stubborn? Italic sin.
Hallelujah.
The bad sin and italic that not you.
So I wasn't the one it said it. God was the one who was laying it, the principle down.
Not to me say I'm not God.
Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king.
Because you don't reject God in word, God don't reject you for making.
Hallelujah. You know, the mercy of God,
God in mercy,
is sometimes, or most of the time, at least until you come to a certain point in your development and growth.
God in mercy,
our situations are not so. Our situations are not so cut and dried.
We situation not just.
You understand what I mean by that?
Just straight.
They're not so plain.
And not just.
We don't have a prophet Samuel.
We don't get prophet Samuel.
We're not fighting in actuality the Amalekites.
We're not a fit to do what.
We are not king in the sense of Saul. We're in a position of physical rulership.
We're not in a position where they rule people then.
It was pretty cut and dry from my perspective, at least.
But down there, it'd be like plain.
But our situations are not so cut and dry.
Well, your situation is not so plain like that.
Hallelujah. But the consequences.
But what in the come after?
At the end of the day, could be just as catastrophic as what it was for Saul.
We're thinking will come after.
Do you understand me?
It will almost be the same like maybe happened to Saul.
Because everything works incrementally.
Because all things it work.
It's you put one stone on and then you put another stone on and you put another stone on.
You put the other stone.
It's like you're building a wall.
It's like when you build a wall.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And everything in that wall has to be in line with that cornerstone.
And all things in that wall.
Hallelujah.
It get for thee.
I don't know how they do it here in Sierra Leone.
I don't know how they do it in Ayasola.
But I do know how they do it in the States.
Well, I know how they do it in the US.
Because we will.
Because I know.
We will. We are going to put up a building.
Because when we build.
And they survey the land.
And then they don't measure the land.
And in the survey, they mark a point.
And when they do the survey, they don't mark points.
And that point will be the corner from which you work off of.
Okay. And that is the corner from which?
This is be the point, the corner from which you will work off of in building the building.
So then they show, when they don't make the survey of the land, then they show you the corner where from there they start to build.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It will be that corner. All right. And you build your wall.
And so you believe for building wall.
You, well, of course, you're marked out. You got your four corners, you know.
Yeah.
That's, and so, and everything is square to this.
And all that wall is supposed to square to this one.
So we're talking about obedience.
So what do you want to talk about that for obey?
Huh? Obedience. We're talking about obedience to the word.
So when they talk about for obey the word.
They will lay one block here.
And go lay one block there, so.
Now this is running square here.
And this one is running
to the corner point, to the opposite corner point.
So they go to the other point.
They will lay
point.
Another block. They will lay another block here.
We'll lay another block there.
Another block
straight.
Here.
And we'll need another block straight.
Now,
the state
usually
line.
In the States.
In the state, like U.S., usually.
We will have a stake. We will have a line.
And we'll go get line.
That is level.
where they show the level.
I suppose you do the same in some respects.
The same thing. They put sticker, then you don't get line.
And we will measure this out to a certain point.
So we measure this velocity to one point.
Then they will play at another layer here.
And then after they don't put the first layer, then they put the other block on top.
And then they put another layer here.
And they put the other block on top, don't you? Then they don't put again.
Another block here.
And then put another block on
another
top again.
Another block here.
Another block on top.
Everything is square. You have the same thing going this direction.
And all the blocks straight. They all go in the same direction.
Some block layers.
Some block them.
Will build the corners. We'll build all of the corners first.
Some people we build at them.
Some block layers.
We they build the wall. So then they do the corner there first, all the four corners.
And when they build them, everything is continually measured to be squared to the cornerstone, to the corner, corner point.
When they build them, all things is straight and go to the first corner they will start.
It's so very apropos to us as Christians, because we are building a house, we are building a temple for the habitation of God.
Apply to us as Christians, because we build one temple, we not the place where God can live.
But the cornerstone is complete and total. Complete.
The cornerstone.
And total.
The perfect
obedience. Perfect obedience.
Perfect obedience.
Perfect obedience. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I'm, as a builder, I know.
As builder, I know.
That if you're off just a little bit.
If you mistake small bits.
If you're off just a little bit.
If you make small mistakes.
Depending how far that wall runs.
It depends on how far
you could be
run.
Miles apart.
If you make small mistake. You go find out the difference between side you go
so,
side of
a
go.
A little back. Disobedience.
So small disobedience
throws the line off.
It will take you away.
It not only has to be straight this way.
You know go straight. No,
it has to be straight this way.
You know go straight sooner more.
Hallelujah.
You know go straight sooner more, but you go for straight way to come up.
And there's a scripture for that, do you know?
A scripture for that.
Did you know that?
You know that.
And we're still talking about obedience.
We're still talking about obedience.
Hallelujah. It says, judgment, judgment will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet.
Amen. He said, a judgment I will lay at the line, and righteousness. Another line the way he puts for making
space. The measurement from here down, as far as level is concerned, is called the plummet.
Okay. The measurement is, where you take from up
this
to down.
This is called the line.
Okay. The measurement you take from up to down. So
it says. He says judgment. This judgment. These ring pins aren't doing very well. It says judgment. Will I lay to the line?
Say, judgment I go lay na the line. That
now
line
it's all in reference to the cornerstone.
And all down the na for make it be
hallelujah.
In line with the cornerstone.
And righteousness, isn't that right? Does it say righteousness?
Yes, righteousness.
Huh? Oh, you got it. I keep forgetting about you. Thank you. Judgment will I lay to the line, righteousness to the plummet, and the hell shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. Can you see? Tell me what judgment means in the Hebrew there?
You can tell me what judgments mean.
Hallelujah. So we're talking about righteousness.
So they talk about righteousness.
Hallelujah.
That you. One way they go up, where the blood they go up for streets, and this way for streets.
Where it is? Pro- probably a verdict favorably or unfavorably pronounced judicially, especially a sentence or formal decree. Suit of crime, penalties, justice. Anyway, judgment is something that brings correction.
But judgment, that's until it brings correction.
Well, judgment is supposed to bring correction.
Well, we tell you, see.
Man's judgment is...
Man in judgment.
Man's judgment is punitive.
But so man's judgment is for punish people.
God's judgment is redemptive.
But God in judgment now for every correction for people back.
So rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry.
So rebellion, that rebellion,
hallelujah,
witchcraft and stubbornness, now we get the sin of
it. And we need to really look at that. You and I need to really look at that. Iniquity and idolatry. So anytime I am stubborn, I am exalting a nature other than the nature of Christ.
So we get for look at Dandy. Anytime I'm stubborn, it means say at the ace of one nature, we know to the nature of Christ.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is a difference between persistence and stubbornness.
When you say person persistent, it's different from when you say person stubborn.
Persistence can be used in right, is usually used, can be used in righteousness. Stubbornness is something that is usually used in sin.
So when you say, the persistent, you mean say, stubbornness. Sorry, let me say, I missed it.
Stubbornness is a quality that is usually used in sin.
When I talk about stubbornness, most of the time that's until use for sin.
Persistence is a quality that can be used for the sake of righteousness.
And when talk about persistence, that means saying that when somebody tawa for righteousness.
You can't take something bad like stubbornness.
You don't take something
and utilize it for something that is good.
Stubbornness say that something is good.
It's spiritually principle. It is not possible.
Normally, spiritual principle, that's not possible.
Jesus was persistent in his goal to achieve and to perform or to submit to the crucifixion.
Jesus been tawa for do.
In fact, he said at one point, "For this purpose came I into the world."
In fact, he said that.
So he was persistent.
So he been
to pursue and to press.
For make it do and for make it for press.
It was not stubbornness.
Not to be stubborn is stubborn.
All right, I think that pretty much
hallelujah
covers that one.
I think it's a dandy cover. Then they will ask for this. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
I think that we can call it a night.
Okay, no more questions, so we can stop the answer.
If you have a question, please write it down.
If you get question, right?
They are very important.
They're important.
It means that you are listening.
It means you didn't listen.
And you are. It is stirring something.
It means something to touch you.
And so it's very good for you to ask questions.
And it's good for make you ask questions.
I'm not afraid of questions.
I'm not afraid of questions.
Usually the Lord gives me an answer, but if he doesn't, I'll say I don't have an answer.
Because most of the time God will give me an answer, but if God not give me an answer, I'll tell you answer, I don't get an answer.
So questions are good, and they're good for me too, because
question
it stirs me to press.
It's good for myself because it helps me for press.
And it helped me to get more in touch with God.
And it helped me get in touch with God.
So God bless you.
So may God bless you.
Thank you very much.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We'll just do a little bit of praying. But that's something that I need to remind us of, that God has said this night that I think it's very special for those of us who are in Laka and in fellowship.
Something in the way God don't see this night, and we special for we this night, and especially for we within a Laka.
And it's a very strong word.
Now, strong, strong word.
And it relates to what was coming in respect of the testimony of Ethiopia.
And now, you know, it relates, I mean, something was concerning waiting the Winnie, but waiting, but about being the talk about the Ethiopia.
That there can be two children in the gutter.
Say two picking a kid in a gutter,
and God will pick one,
and God pick one,
and then begin to work with one,
and begin for work with one,
and the other one remains in the gutter,
and the other one still left at the gutter.
Amen. And I think it's a very specific word for us.
I believe say now a specific word for we.
And it would be a great disappointment if we just take it for granted.
And if we just take it for granted, no more, it will be a disappointment.
Because God did not go to Adonkia.
Because God did not go to Adonkia.
There are many provinces in Sierra Leone.
Boku, place the name Salome.
In fact, there are better airports, there are better cities around West Africa that God will have gone to.
In fact, Boku city there, Tong then, they get fine airport then, say, so God for leg for good.
God will have gone to Liberia.
Like God for leg for go Liberia, to Guinea. Even a Guinea.
But you see, God choose to come to Laka.
But God choose for Kana Laka.
And well, I don't know whether to use the word. I'm giving a word to use, but it's very serious. Let me just put it that way.
What you want for see is serious, bad one.
So if God is making such investment,
so if God they make this. They put in effort now, so
then I'm wondering what I would tell God.
You know, they wonder what you are going to tell God.
Because the things that God is saying to us,
God, the thing where God is telling we,
are the things that are pertinent in His heart.
Now, anything and deal with the bone in your heart.
And He's coming to you and to me who live in this place.
And He come to me and to you within at this place.
Because He knows that you and I have the ability to make a response.
He knows that me and you we able for answer. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 And no, Brother Ball, they didn't plan to speak to us on rebellion this night.
But Ball not in plan for can't tell you about rebellion for rebel business this night.
It is out of the ministry from here that God began to speak about rebellion.
In fact, now out of waiting we get somebody ask question I ask, so now in God begin for talk about rebellion.
And that means that I, you know, I'm here with you. I'm part. This is my home now. You understand? That means that
it means say,
we are rebellious.
It means say, when you see God talk about that rebel business, it means say, we will react like rebel.
I am rebellious.
It means say, myself, self, I react like rebel.
The thing that God has been asking me to do for the past 10 years.
The thing where God only asked me for do for 10 years now.
I'm giving excuse.
I don't defend excuse.
We are giving excuses.
We don't give excuse.
We are stubborn. There is something that God wants done.
Something that God wants for do.
There is a destruction of spirits. That God said, go and destroy Amalek.
You know, it was supposed for this, for damage some spirit. God said, go and destroy that place we didn't call Amalek.
So we need to go to God, brethren.
We need to come to God,
and see how much we have rebelled.
And for see how much is rebel business don't depend.
So that God can have mercy upon us.
So that God go sorry for we.
So that our rebellion says that be careful, or I'm going to pull out the lamp, your candlestick.
Now, Revelation, it does say that you have to take them, otherwise I go pull you lamp.
Amen. Because if the lamp refused to bring forth light.
Because if the lamp not grieve for give light,
God is putting oil.
God only put oil.
He's putting manure.
He only put kerosene. He only put
doing whatever he has
manure,
to do.
He only put
and
do
the light refuse to come up.
And this light not the grieve for come, the show for show light.
Then he said that he's going to do what?
Remove.
Cut it off.
So it talks say go cut and come out.
Praise God. So let's think about it.
Let me think about that.
As we go through the meeting.
As we continue for the meeting.
And then even after I believe that when the meeting has ended.
And when the meeting don't end.
Then it is going to really start.
It means that after the meeting it starts.
Because after you eating food inside your mouth, because of stomach.
When you eat chop, inside you pass
that
and
is when and the work really starts.
The time the work starts, that way you don't swell.
It will take more fellowship.
It means continue for fellowship.
It will take corporate fastings and prayers.
It means say we will continue for fast and for pray
corporately
together.
It will also take individual.
It means say by we self. It means say we will spend time we self on the Lord. Wait on the Lord and for fast.
Because we are in danger.
Because
of our lamp being taken.
Because if we not take them, then we take we lamp.
And I don't want to imagine what will happen. Darkness I'm going to have.
I don't want to imagine yourself what will happen because darkness now will see. Tick darkness.
So let's pray, brethren. Let's begin to initiate whatever. Let's begin to speak to God.
So Lord, we begin to talk to God.
Every man need to speak to God.
All man. So we need to talk to God.
We are a privileged people.
We are people that we, we get privilege.
Let it not be that it looks as though God is casting precious things to pigs.
May not tell like say,
or to dogs. I am a Yeshua.
You may not tell like say, God,
have mercy upon your people tonight.
They give pig something that we find.
Let's ask the Lord to reach and have mercy upon us tonight.
Lord, ask God for making sorry for we this
and,
night.
And
let his blood touch that spirit of the dog and that spirit of the pig, of the hog.
Make it touch that spirit where the dog, the power, that hog, that spirit where he gets.
That does not value spiritual things.
That hog, they even know what in that spiritual thing there.
Doesn't value important things.
He don't know see the thing they do in an important thing there.
He thinks that everything should be played with in the mud.
He thinks he, all things get for play with, play.
Everything is a toy.
And he thinks all things are toy.
But there are delicate things of God.
But things and deal with God.
There are things that matter to God.
Something and deal with important to God.
Let us come and repent, and brethren.
Let we come, look and repent.
Let a stream of repentance begin to flow in our midst, brethren.
Make repentance begin to flow now we meet.
Let there be a river of repentance.
Make we get boku repentance.
God is calling for a time of weeping.
God calls it down this time for can cry to him.
So that he might have mercy upon
so
us.
So that he go sorry for we.
So that we can begin to the fruit that he's looking for.
So that fruit where he look for,
he may have hope that he will see it.
He go able for see.
So let us speak to him, brethren, in our own words.
So now we talk to him. Now we say your own words.
So God have mercy upon me.
Say God, sorry for me. Yes, Lord.
God
have mercy
on me. Have
mercy
upon me. My God. As you don't again,
yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus. May my heart to Sakata.
You will not just look at the mirror when you show us all the field. We will walk away and do nothing about it. Have mercy.
Yes, Lord. Not to take it for granted.
Oh my God,
will not
hold
like a precious thing
in our righteousness. You say that, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound with people who want to continue in sin and think that grace may abound? This dumb head that I have, my God, focus, shake it. Lord, we want to come as a people tonight.
Apparently, we want to come as people in this night.
We come to ask for your mercy.
We come for ask for you, for make you sorry for we.
Lord, we are the people,
Lord,
who are rebellious.
We are people and we are rebel.
We are the people who have practiced witchcraft.
We don't witch compete.
We are the people who are stubborn.
We stubborn.
dear Lord, for the things that you have been asking us to do.
The thing that you don't tell we for do.
The spirits that you have asked us to judge.
The spirit that you don't ask you for Lord we judge.
The natures in our soul that you have asked us to destroy by your blood.
That thing in our soul we ask you for Lord we destroy.
We have not destroyed them yet.
We have not destroyed them yet.
We are still making use of them.
We still they make use of them.
We are still enjoying our anger.
We still enjoy.
We are still getting benefits from.
We vex.
We are still
get benefit.
Lord, enjoy. Have mercy upon us.
Forgive we, Lord. Sorry for.
We are people who have looked at the mirror.
When are people that would look the mirror?
And you have shown us how dirty our faces are.
You don't show me how we face dirty.
And we have not wept before you.
And we don't cry before you.
We have gone out and walked as though nothing has happened.
We don't go and do and make like say nothing will happen.
Lord, have mercy upon us.
Lord, forgive we. Lord, sorry for we.
Lord, bring us to a place of repentance.
Make we count on this place of focus repent.
Bring us as individuals, oh God.
Bring we as one by one.
One by one, dear Lord.
One by one, oh God.
Speak to us one by one.
Talk to
we
you
want
one
to
by
come
one.
To you one by one, individually,
one by
oh
one
God.
In the name of Jesus.
That this rebellion.
So this rebel business, yeah.
We might begin to repent, oh God.
We go start for turn away from us.
That Lord, the lamp will not be taken out.
So that you know, we take away lamp out, man.
For we perceive that you have held the darkness.
Oh, you know, sister, you don't hold the dark.
You have been holding. You have been having mercy.
You don't stop.
You have been extending the time.
You don't extend the time.
You have been sending more manure.
You don't give more manure.
You have heard the cry of your people.
You don't hear the cry
of the cry of the blood of Yeshua.
You don't hear the cry of
and
Jesus.
And you have extended
blood.
And extended.
And you don't extend. You don't extend.
But we know that you will not extend forever.
We know that you know we'll continue that forever.
Have mercy upon us, oh God.
Forgive we, oh God.
Touch something in our souls.
Touch we soul.
Bring a brokenness.
Make we
you broke the tie of Jacob.
You say you broke Jacob in leg.
Lord, we need a breaking of our strength.
We want to make you broke with strength.
Our strength in ourselves.
The strength we'll get by ourselves.
Our strength in the things that we have.
The strength of the things we'll get.
Our strength in our ambitions.
With the strength we'll get by what we want.
You need to break it, oh God.
We want to make you broken.
So that we can lean upon you.
So that we go lean by you.
Lord, come to us, oh God.
Come to me.
Have mercy upon us, dear Lord.
Sorry for we.
Set us in a new course, oh God.
Put we in a new side.
Let there be a new beginning.
Make we get new beginning.
A new beginning,
make
oh God.
Make we get new beginning.
Let the burden of your heart, oh God, weigh upon us.
Make that thing with it that your heart make it come
so that the, we want to feel the way you feel.
We want to feel the pain that you feel, oh God. Jesus.
You looked at Jerusalem and it was a pain in that day.
You looked at Jerusalem and
I know you're looking at it today. There's a pain in your heart, oh God.
You see, a pain in
we want to have the pain that you are feeling.
We don't forget that pain we really feel.
So that we can respond to you, oh
so
God.
That we go come back to you.
Lord, have mercy upon us.
Lord, forgive you. Sorry for you.
We thank you, our Father.
We thank you, Papa.
We thank you for if you have spoken to us in such manner, it means that you want to have mercy upon us.
We thank you because we don't say if you talk to me this way, it means say you are for sorry for me.
And we want to appreciate you for it, dear Lord.
And we're glad for you for that.
We bless you, our Father.
We bless you.
Thank you for this night particularly.
Thank you for this night.
Let your name be blessed, Father.
Make your name take all the blessings.
As we go tonight,
as we go this night,
let your mercy be about us.
Make your mercy be upon me.
Hallelujah. Let the thing that you have, let us chew them, oh God.
Lord, we charm the thing away.
Make us clean animal that will chew this thing that you have given to us.
And turn over this thing
until it becomes flesh in us.
Hey,
Totayala, Yeshua.
We can't part with weed and our flesh.
We thank you, Father.
We tell you, thank you.
We pray that you will bless our brother.
With the praise that you may you bless with brother.
Strengthen him, oh God.
Yeah, strength.
We thank you, oh God.
We tell you thank you.
We appreciate all the sacrifice that you have enabled him to put in, oh God.
We make it or make.
We thank you.
We thank you,
Lord. Hallelujah. We bless you.
We bless you.
My God. In that day, Paul feared that his labor would be in vain.
Paul, we pray, say, what is the labor for? It could be nothing.
We pray that, Lord God, the labor of our brother will not be in vain.
We pray that his labor will not go be in vain.
The labor of all that you have been bringing to us in this land of Laka, oh God, will not be a waste, my God.
Laka, it not go be waste.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That, Lord, a seed shall shine in this place.
We pray that
people shall rise up in this place. Hallelujah. Mighty God. Hallelujah. My God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your house has been built in this place. Hallelujah.
You owe some being at this place.
Your purpose will find accomplishment in this land.
Amen.
Yes, we thank you, Father.
We tell you, thank you.
We give you praise.
We give you praise.
Let your name be glorified and magnified. In Yahshua's name.
Oh, yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.